Welcome to Off the Clock, a podcast by Persino Wells and Woodland, where we take a team-centered, family-focused approach to serving the estate planning and elder law needs of our community on the Eastern Shore. I'm Leslie DiPietro, one of the attorneys with the firm, and I'm joined today by Beth Copeland with Griswold Home Care Agencies. We're so excited to discuss and share this topic with you this morning, so let's go ahead and get started. Hey, Beth, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
So this is episode 18 of our podcast. It's called Meet Your Local Home Care Agency. So I just introduced you as the agency director at Griswold. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about what you do on a regular basis?
Sure. So we have been in Lewis for almost 20 years now, operating and taking care of elderly and disabled clients. We have over 200 caregivers, and we love taking care of people that may need home care in the home and choose not to go into a facility. Even though, that said, we do take care of some people in facilities that may need some extra assistance.
Okay, really.
So we're kind of flexible, and we're just there for families as little as or as much as they may need.
Really great. Really great. And it's nice to know that you have that extension into facilities, too. That gives people a great peace of mind to know there are some extra hands and just a little bit of extra companionship, too, for their loved ones.
Well, and we love it. There's a lot of people that choose to go to an independent setting within a continuous care facility, and sometimes they want to stay there and they don't want to move to an area that has, you know, more assistance, and so we can fill in those hours that keep them where they want to be and independent that much longer.
Really good, really good. And I think that's one of the things that's so exciting to me about home care agencies in general. The two things I hear most from my clients are, number one, I don't want to spend all my money on my long-term care needs, and number two, I don't want to necessarily go into a facility, or if I do, it's really the last resort. I want to get care at home. I want to stay home as long as possible.
And we hear that too. And just a little bit about why I do what I do. My grandfather, I took care of for a long time. He had congestive heart failure and cancer, and I was his primary caregiver. He lived on a little island in the Caribbean, and which was not easy. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to stay in his home till the very, very end. And sadly, where they were, there was no ability for him to do so. He ended up dying in the hospital by himself in the middle of the night, and none of us were with him, and it always stuck with me. And so one of my passions is letting people be where they want to be, even if it means that's where they stay until the very end. And we have caregivers that are absolutely capable of working with hospice clients till the very end, totally bedbound, dependent on somebody, so they can be where they want to be. So we do as little some housekeeping all the way through end of life care. And that's our goal, to keep them where they want to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. And thank you for sharing your story, because it's just so, it's understandable, right? When you have a personal experience and you get to translate that into your work every day, it was mm-hmm. hard for you to go through that event, but you get to change so many lives going forward.
And that's why we all have a passion for it, because of it. You have to have a why.
Absolutely.
About what you do.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about how our the services that we provide for the community kind of intersect a little bit. So, you know, as an elder law practice, we're working with clients proactively to try and protect their assets ahead of time in the event that they need long-term care. Or we might help with a guardianship action or a Miller Trust action because a client knows they need some of those legal services to qualify for Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And that intersects with your business, because you do accept Medicaid as a payer source for that home care that you provide.
Absolutely. And we find, we refer to you all very often, because we find their families that are not educated in terms of, they think they need to spend all their money down mm-hmm. and then they'll be eligible for Medicaid. And we're like, wait, stop. You really need to go speak to somebody mm-hmm. because there are other ways around this. And so many people didn't realize. So it's been, we love our relationship with you all, because we really do intersect. And we find that there are a lot of people that are going down that route, and you have been able to help them. And it's been just wonderful, because they said it changed their life.
Yeah, thank
truly,
you for that.
It's been many, many happy clients that we've talked to, and we appreciate you being there for ours. We really do.
Thank you. And same here. We have clients who come in and maybe don't, you know that Medicaid might be a payer source, and they think the only way they can get that is to have their loved one admitted to a facility. So when we can share that, hey, in Delaware, Medicaid is available to pay for at-home care, it just changes the whole landscape for families. Yeah. People who may have been resistant to getting care, or you can see that they're putting it off, suddenly it's like the doors open up and they understand that there's an opportunity to get the care they need right now, which is so important to us.
And we feel the same way, because we are very worried that there's a population of people that are falling through a gap between not having enough to pay privately and not being in a place where they could actually be eligible for Medicaid. So, you know, when we can refer somebody to you and you can help them plan and get to where they need to be so that this is doable, you know, it's one more person we can help, and that's our goal.
Yeah, same here. That's great. So I wanted to talk, you know, before we jumped on here, we were talking about what a challenge the last year has been with the COVID pandemic. And I know that it's impacted all industries, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit and see sort of how things have changed for you over the last year. What are some things that you're seeing as a result of the pandemic?
Besides getting no sleep, because I'm responsible for over 200 caregivers and family members, no, it has been in some ways difficult, and in other ways we've been very, very fortunate. We were very proactive in terms of having protective equipment for our caregivers. I read, kept up to date, looked at CDC, and then even beyond that, thought of other ways that we could protect our people, our clients, and our caregivers, because we had to do both. We've done a lot of education, we've provided equipment, everything anybody may need, and we've been there to ensure that we provide the safest care possible for our clients as well as for our caregivers, so that they feel safe caring for people in their home, because we never stopped. We went into the home from the day it started, and we continue to do so as essential workers, and we were very, very careful in terms of ensuring everyone's safety, and that has changed what we did, because we never really thought about it before.
Yeah.
So been a big difference, but we've, knock on wood, been very successful, and it has been a very positive experience for our clients and our caregivers.
So that education piece you talked about, to me, that's sort of the point of this podcast, is sharing information with our community. So I do wonder, you know, do you have any sort of tips or tricks or things that you were able to communicate in general that have been really helpful, and maybe easing fears that people had in having home care agencies come on into their home?
Yeah, the first thing we did was educate our caregivers that as an essential personnel, your life is slightly different than other people's right now, that you have to go above and beyond. You need to be much more careful about who you're interacting with, how you interact, family members. We found that, you know, children tended to be, young adults tended to be a big spreader initially, and we let them know that really with what you're doing, you need to limit your exposure, you need to make sure. So we kind of put the caregivers on a different path in terms of who they could interact with, and made it very clear that that was part of what we expected. And if they didn't want to or didn't feel like they couldn't do that, then we said we absolutely understood. Mm-hmm. And so we were willing to not, you know, have fewer cases if we couldn't send the proper people. That was the first thing. Then we did a lot of education just in terms of equipment. How do you use it? How do you use it properly? When do you use it? Etc. And they'd have to pass tests. And, you know, we had videos and we had how, you know, so we spent a lot of time doing that education, and then I continuously sent out messages communicating to all of the caregivers in terms of expectations, how well they're doing. We are here available 24/7 if you have a question, if you're ever concerned. How do we work with the families to ensure we're all on the same page? And it worked well. Communication has been everything.
Yeah, that's incredible. We do worry that some families out there are resisting maybe securing the care that they need. Maybe it's worries about COVID in general. Maybe it's financial worries or concerns. Do you have anything that you would say to a family who's maybe struggling to think, should I secure care, when they know that it's probably something that's needed?
Yeah, and we do a lot of those discussions, and a lot of times I'll go in first. And speak with families and, you know, assure them of what we are able to do and how we do it. We have vaccinated caregivers. We have people that get tested, COVID tested on top of that. You know, we have a lot of assurances in terms of what our people will bring to them should we come in. You get one person, you know what you're getting. And we're very responsible about that. So we, a lot of times it is just a, it's an in-person conversation to let them know that we understand, and that we have taken all these precautions, and we've been very successful with that.
Yeah. And then on the financial side, you've already sort of addressed that. People maybe aren't aware of some of the payer sources that might be available to them. And so knowing how to connect with others in the community is key to that conversation as
and
well.
That's exactly what we talk about, the different payer sources, how they can utilize them, how to go about it, who do they speak to. And that's a big piece of what we do as well.
Yeah, really good.
We meet with them.
So social isolation has been a big problem for a lot of our senior neighbors, friends, and the community. And I just think that when your caregivers are going out into the community and they're seeing those patients, I think this might be, you know, the most social interaction that they get at any particular time. So I just wondered if there are any sort of creative things that your caregivers have taken on to try and maybe cheer some of their patients up.
Absolutely. And I'll also say that for our caregivers that have chosen to isolate themselves so that they can care for their patients, this is their socialization too. So together, they've developed these bonds and friendships and look forward to being together. And that's kind of probably some of our favorite stories of how important this has been to both of them, because it has been very isolating. And some people say, my food is delivered, I don't leave, the only person I see is my patient.
Mm-hmm.
So, but some of the things they've done, we've done all kinds of things, but makeovers, and they've done, you know, play games a lot, but you know, sometimes they take people fishing and it's outside, they just get them away. You know, they've made meals and they have a special sit down together so that they're eating with somebody. Sometimes it's little things, but they've done things as much as possible to make things as normal as possible without putting anybody at risk.
I love that. It sounds like your caregivers are just as passionate about what they do as you are about what you do.
We look and strive for that. We turn a lot of people away because we're not looking for people that want to make money. We're looking for people that love what they do as much as we do. They're an extension of how we feel. And we've been, knock on wood, very, very, very fortunate to find some amazing people. We've had some people almost 20 years.
Wow.
That have been with us that long, and it's that important to us. They're our family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you know, in this area, we have a lot of clients who are maybe physically distant from their family. And so if I'm a son or a daughter and I'm living far away from my parent, I think there's nothing that would make me feel more secure and confident to know that there is somebody who is really spending some quality time with my parent if I can't physically be there.
And we are a big source of communication for the family members because sometimes, as you said, they're not coming down, they're not able to see them. So we're with them, and then we are able to speak with the family, let them know, great week, everything is going really well, or we may have a concern. And you know, and this is what we're thinking, we just wanted to make you aware. And for us, communication is such a large part of what we do in terms of their coordinators that work with them, and then within the caregivers and the families, it's essential.
Peace of mind is huge.
Peace of mind, that's right.
Yeah, really good. Sometimes we joke that there are certain topics that we've sort of addressed on this episode that if we had a megaphone and we could just like scream it out to the whole community, this is something that we would want our friends and neighbors to know. Is there anything like that? If we give you this opportunity to sort of shout that out, is there anything you would share?
I would share one of our biggest fears for our elderly population is the temptation to find somebody privately to help them. We have seen such horrible stories of people being taken advantage of, left alone. It worries us. You don't know what you're getting. And you know, especially with COVID, you know, when you get an agency, you get insurance, you get workers' comp, you get education, you get a support system. Somebody doesn't come, somebody is there because to replace them. So, you know, it's kind of, you get what you pay for. But we would always ask somebody to call us if they're concerned about the money and talk about what we can do, because you know, resorting to the temptation. I know a lot of people. I see people advertise all the time in the paper, or on the, you know, Lewis next door. They'll say, you know, I'm available. I'll come take care of you. And we have seen these caregivers and we've terminated them for behavior that you wouldn't want somebody in your home for. And it scares us to death. So that would be the megaphone I think I would have at this point, especially now. It's very tempting.
That is a great tip. That is an excellent tip. So Is there anything that we as a community might do to kind of support you and your agency?
No, just continue offering the great services that you offer. I mean, you are wonderful, you're responsive, and you've helped so many of our people. I mean, like I said, our biggest fear is there's a group of people that fall through a crack in terms of being cared for, and you all help fill that so that they don't, and that we can take care of them, and everybody benefits, and we just appreciate it. Until you came along, we just didn't really have that relationship with anybody.
Yeah, it takes a village.
And you are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
We love working with you, we really do.
Thank you, same here. It does take a village. We all need to support each other, don't we?
I say that all the time.
Yeah. So I would just invite you to maybe share your contact information as we wrap up today.
Oh, absolutely. So anybody can reach us at 302-644-6990. Call anybody that answers the phone, can help immediately. But if you'd like to speak to me personally, don't hesitate to ask for me. They'll patch you through, or we can come visit anytime, no cost. We love to chat, introduce ourselves, and there's no obligation, but we can see what we can do to help. And there may be other services that we could provide through another source should they need that, and we're happy to do that too.
Really good. Thank you so much for being here, Beth. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Really good. Thanks for being with us today on Off the Clock. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit our website at pwwlaw.com. Of course, you can contact us directly by calling 302-628-4140 or emailing info@pwwlaw.com. We're here to help you plan today to protect your families tomorrow. See you next time. Anything discussed on Off the Clock is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to create an attorney-client relationship. To obtain the most reliable guidance, listeners are encouraged to seek personalized advice from qualified professionals.